Last week, we finished our journey through Philippians. And looking back over that study, it seems to me that there's a critical ingredient, for want of a better word, that must be present in our lives if we're going to put into practice and be transformed by what we gained in that letter. And that, it seems to me, is a particular mindset. And I would call it the essential mindset. And that's the title I'll put on my message today. The essential mindset. Before we look at that, though, let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word we're considering today. And we pray that we would have prepared hearts, hearts that are taught and led by your Spirit to receive what you have to say to us today. I pray you're guiding my thoughts and my words. I want to be true to your word in what I speak. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we've gone through Philippians, I've called your attention a number of times to a particular verb. I haven't told you what the verb is. It's a Greek verb. I think a lot of Christians in church, they know one Greek word for sure. It's agape. Just like we know some Hebrew. Hallelujah. This word is phroneo. It's probably related to some of our English words like frenetic and something like that. It's a mind word. And I'm not going to mention it again by its name, but I just, you know, you probably, I'm talking about this word. Well, what is this word? It's phroneo. If you were going to spell it in English, it would be P-H-R-O-N-E, and then a long O at the end, which is the letter omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So this verb is often translated think, or something along that line. And Paul uses it 10 times in this letter. In fact, I can't tell you exactly. I think the word is used about 20 times in the New Testament. And probably 3/4 of those, if not more, are Paul's uses of them. And by far, this is the letter where he uses that word the most. So it's not like the or of or whatever. It's a heavy word. And I've often used the word mindset to translate it. Have this mindset. I went and looked in my dictionaries at home, and none of them, including the ones in my Bible software, which are good, none of them they didn't have the word mindset in there. So my guess is it's fairly recent. In fact, I found online from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, which is one that I have at home, but this is apparently a newer edition, I found that they had the definition for mindset. And this is what they said. A fixed mental attitude or disposition that predetermines a person's responses to and interpretations of situations. That fixed mental attitude, can you see that idea of set there? It's an attitude that is set. My oldest brother was a builder, and I remember him working on saws, particularly circular saw blades, and he had a jig for them, and he would, you know, make sure that the edges were sharp. But then he had a tool that would set the teeth to make the kerf wide enough so that the blade wouldn't bind in it. And so he would say, I have to set this saw blade. And you see, there's that idea of putting something in its proper position. And that fits with this idea of mindset. Another definition they give, which is related, is an inclination or a habit. A mindset is a habit of thought. There was another website I checked out. I did not do any heavy-duty sifting. I put in, what's the definition of mindset? And these were some of the first ones that came up. It's a source called Sources of Insight. And I thought they said some very interesting things, and I hope it doesn't bore you. But I wanted to read them to you. It says, a way of thinking, in a word, a mental inclination or disposition or frame of mind. Your mindset is your collection of thoughts and beliefs that shape your thought habits. And your thought habits affect how you think, what you feel, and what you do. Your mindset impacts how you make sense of the world and how you make sense of you. Your mindset is a big deal. And because they're related to mindset, it also helps to understand attitude and beliefs. And here's what the Oxford Dictionary has to say about attitude. It's a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. You see that word settled? Typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. According to Kendra Cherry, and I have no idea who Kendra Cherry is, they don't say anything more about her. Researchers believe three components make up an attitude. An emotional component, how the object, person, or issue, event makes you feel. A cognitive component, your thoughts or beliefs about the subject. A behavioral component, how the attitude influences your behavior. Your attitude is how you feel about something. Your mindset shapes your attitude, and your attitude reinforces your mindset. And one more thought that they talked about is a mindset as a collection of beliefs and thoughts. Mindsets are those collection of beliefs and thoughts that make up the mental attitude, inclination, habit, or disposition that predetermines a person's interpretations and responses to events, circumstances, and situations. And it seems to me that all of that corresponds so well to the way Paul uses that word in Philippians. And today I want to talk with you about some of the key ideas from Philippians where Paul talks about mindset. And the first one is distinguished from the other two. The first one is the ungodly mindset. And it's a seriously faulty mindset. And I'm going to just read for you again from Philippians 3, 17 through 21. If you want to turn, you can, but if you want to just listen, that's fine. Because I'm going to make some points and move on. Just so you know, I've got four main points. And the first one is distinct from the other three. And I'm calling it again the ungodly mindset. So Paul writes, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. This is verse 18 now. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach or their belly. And their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So you see there in this passage, Paul contrasts the mindset and the destiny of the unsaved with those who have been saved and transformed by faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved and transformed by receiving for ourselves Christ's death on the cross in payment for our sins. In contrast, the ungodly live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And Paul goes on to describe them as those whose God is their stomach, their appetites. Their glory is in their shame. They are proud of what they ought to be ashamed of. Their mind is on earthly things, their mindset, and their destiny is destruction. Notice the emphasis here. Mindset influences destiny. all of us here were on that road at one time. But God in His mercy has confronted us, convicted us of our sins, and brought us to repentance and faith. And as a result, verses 20 and 21, but our citizenship is in heaven and so forth, they describe our destiny. And so I want to say to you seriously and earnestly that if you do not have that present new life and eternal hope in Jesus Christ, that's your need. It's a crying need. It's an emergency need. And you can have it today. In Romans 12:2, Paul writes, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He uses a different word for mind there, but the principle is there. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what the new birth brings to us. And what I want to do today is talk about that renewed mind, a Christian mindset, the essential mindset, and treat it as a gem. And I'm going to look at three facets of that gem, of an essential mindset. The first one I want to look at is what I'm calling the mindset of committed discipleship. If you've been with me in this study, you know that in chapter 3 of Philippians, I gave you three sermons on the early verses of Philippians 3. The first one was the failure of self-righteousness, trying to be good enough to please God, or trying to whip our sinful nature into shape by our own energies. The next one after that was practical righteousness by faith. And there we're talking about the term often used in Scripture is justification. In other words, by faith, I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and He forgives my sins, and to me, He attributes the righteousness of God so that I am accepted in His sight. My character is not transformed yet, but a seed has been planted. But my standing before God has been changed. I'm not under the wrath of God anymore. I have peace with God, and it's all based on the merits of Jesus Christ. I have peace with Him through Jesus Christ. And then the third one was pressing on toward the goal. If you remember the thread of thought, in the early chapters, part of chapter 3, Paul regaled us with his list of self-righteous things, the things that he could take credit in as a Jew. And he says he was faultless as a good Jew. And that makes me smile, because if you know some of the other things that Paul says in Scripture about himself, you know how that empty self-righteousness, how empty it really was. And then he goes on and said, but all those things that were gained to me, that boosted my esteem, my thoughts of myself, I counted loss for Christ. And how he put his trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then he talked about pressing on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And I love that verse. I turn it into prayer for myself and for others often. I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And that third part there is what I want to focus on for a few minutes when we talk about the mindset of committed discipleship. I want to read a key passage from Philippians 3. It's verses 7 through 15. And again, I'm not going to comment on it, but I want you to remember it because it'll form the basis of my comments. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things, should have this mindset of committed discipleship. And he says, if on some point you think differently, this also God is going to make clear to you. When he says, if you have a different mindset, he comes back to this mindset and he says, this pressing on toward the goal mindset of committed discipleship is essential. And he says, God will make it clear to you. He wants you to be pressing on. Paul's writing here about a settled commitment, a response to that passage that I've just read for you, shunning self-righteousness, finding one's all in Christ Jesus, and again, pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, taking hold of the genuine righteousness that comes by faith, not only positional, in other words, not only justification righteousness, but real life transformation righteousness, sanctification, if you want the big word. There's a correct mindset here, and there's an incorrect mindset here. The incorrect one is self-righteousness. And the correct mindset is this one of pressing on. Stop and think. Is God dealing with us, with you, about an incorrect mindset? Now, he says if you're a professing Christian and you don't have the correct mindset, well, he's going to deal with you about it. Secondly, I want to focus on a mindset of committed teamwork. And you see this in Philippians 2, 1 through 4. And I'll read those verses for you and make some comments about them. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my love complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Where he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, we could read that, make my joy complete by having the same mindset. That's the word again. Having the same love, being soulmates, and of one mindset. So he's got that word twice in that same verse. So here we see a mindset, a perspective, an outlook, a way of looking at or evaluating, a settled commitment to a core value. And it's the idea of a committed teamwork. It flows out of the factors that Paul mentioned in those early verses, encouragement from being united with Christ, comfort from His love, fellowship with the Spirit, a heart of tenderness and compassion. And he says those things are to produce in us this mind work, this mindset of committed teamwork. Then Paul moves on and he gives us a clear example of this kind of settled commitment that's an inherent in a mindset. And it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And this is amazingly stark and clear. He says, your attitude, your mindset, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The NIV says your attitude should be. To me, that's kind of superficial. It's related to mindset. I want it to be more terse. For one thing, when Paul writes it, it's an imperative. He says it should be. He doesn't say, you know, you really should have this attitude. He says, have this attitude. Think this way. Have this mindset. And again, he's talking about a mindset which results in a settled commitment. And it was such a costly commitment for Jesus Christ. And we see in Paul's life a similar commitment, ready to die for Christ. I haven't felt like my life has been on the line for Christ yet, but I aspire to have that attitude. I don't know what I would do in the pressure. I pray that I will stand strong in the pressure. And I won't read it today, but in the verses right after that, where it talks about Christ's glorification, you see that God the Father really honored that commitment, and He will honor ours. I want to think for just a moment about Jesus' statement, the statement about Jesus there, that He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. That word consider is really important for mindset. He uses the word consider. It involves making evaluation about something. And what you see here is that Jesus subordinates in His thinking His place of equality with God. I don't think that He trashes it. That's not saying what He's doing. He's saying He's not abandoning His equality with God. He's just saying He's not going to grab a hold of His prerogatives. And so because He devalues doesn't cling to His equality with God, it frees Him to empty Himself. Because of what he considers, the way He values things, and realizes, for one thing, He realizes He's not going to be less God by dying on the cross. He still is God. He's doing His Father's will. And God isn't telling you and me to lay down our lives on the cross to save the world, but He is calling us to lay down our lives. And if we have in perspective our security in Him, our devaluing ourselves so we're ready to lay down our lives is not going to cost us what's really valuable. So this idea of value judgments, that's part of our mindset. So our mindset of committed discipleship, of committed teamwork, will have clear implications on what we value in life, what we give ourselves to. There will be a cost. Our mindset will require us to set aside things of mere earthly value so that we have the freedom to pursue things of eternal value. Later on in this letter, Paul gives one more appeal for this mindset of committed teamwork. It's in chapter 4, verse 2. And he says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree, to think the same with each other in the Lord. So he's calling these two ladies to have the same mindset, the same perspective, focus, outlook, a settled commitment, as surely in view too. They used to be good teammates, but something is involved there that's kept them from being good teammates. And he's saying to go back to that same mindset that you had. It's possible that in this verse he's just telling these two ladies to get involved, or to get along, to agree with each other. But again, I think he's pointing back to the larger mindset of faithful teamwork. I don't think that he aimed those early verses at those ladies in particular. I think he aimed them at the whole church. I told you that a few weeks ago. I can't see Paul dragging the whole church through an issue that didn't apply to the whole church. And he's calling us, he's using them as an example too for us to have this same mindset. The last facet of mindset that I want to think about for a few minutes is what I'm calling the mindset of committed relationships. There are two passages in Philippians that illustrate this. One of them is Philippians 1, 3 through 8. It's right at the beginning of the letter. Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. He said, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you. That's the mindset phrase there. You could say, it is right for me to have this mindset about all of you. Since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affections of Jesus Christ. Notice the reasons that Paul gives for having this caring mindset for the Philippians. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And if you think back, they were a baby church. And Paul went on to Thessalonica. And they were sending him aid in Thessalonica. And they did that repeatedly. And there was a long hiatus in their doing so because Paul was in prison in Caesarea. And then he was on a long shipwreck journey to Rome. And then he was in prison from Rome. And all of those were a great distance from Philippi. And somehow they managed through Epaphroditus to get aid to him again. And so at the end of the letter, he has another statement in 4:10. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. When I was preaching through Philippians 4, the translation there of concern for this word, phroneo, kind of bothered me. It seemed kind of outside the dots. We're talking about mindset. Well, concern is a mindset. And what seals it for me, I had this kind of serendipitous moment this last week as I was studying this, because I went to chapter 1 and read what I had just finished reading to you there. And I realized that Paul uses the same words in Greek as he does in Philippians 4:10. He's saying in chapter 1, I have this concern for you, this mindset of care and love for you. And in chapter 4, he's thanking them that they have that mindset for him. And to me, that That put the whole package together. It's a concern for, it's a mindset for the ones we're concerned about. And he said, it's kind of fun when I ad lib what my notes have without looking at my notes. I don't do that real often. Just thinking about this mindset of committed relationships, I'm sure that the development of such a long-lasting committed friendship is the result of many personal decisions on both sides to love and give and serve, expecting nothing in return. Over the years, there were certainly times where Paul, in his concern for the Philippians and those he served, was making the decision to set aside his own personal needs and concerns and endure hard things for the sake of blessing others. And on the same token, on the part of the Philippians, there were surely times when it was a sacrifice for them to contribute to Paul's support. And what I want you to see is that is what this mindset idea involves for us in our caring for one another and fellow Christians in the body of Christ. Again, it's the result of many personal decisions on both sides to love and give and serve, expecting nothing in return. Healthy, committed friendships and relationships involve unselfish, committed character, a clear choice to put others first. But you know what else? At the same time, there's a warmth and joy in such relationships that they often seem effortless. I've seen that. So yes, if I look down under the surface, I may have made a decision that inconvenienced me, but I don't even think about it, because the joy of relationship, of service, is so great, the cost is minimal. You ignore it. And I can testify that this has often been my experience during my 40 years at Newberry Community Church. I was doing the math the other day. I came to Ironwood the second time to serve on the staff for an indefinite period, the summer of 1979. And it was in the fall of 79 that I started coming consistently to church at Newberry Community Church. So we're coming up real close on 40 years. And again, it's been a joyous experience. I love that mindset of committed relationships that I see in you. This puts me in mind of a song that we sang when I was a young kid in Sunday school. Some of you probably know it. Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you. In the heart of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others we meet face to face. Y is for you in whatever you do. So put Jesus first and spell joy. And then we would sing it again with a different final line, which was, put yourself third and spell joy. The mindset of committed relationships is just that. It's an essential, valuable mindset for the body of Christ. And its fruit is joy. And it's not a coincidence that in this letter, Paul uses the word rejoice numerous times. I forget the count, but it's right up there with this mindset word. It's the fruit of a godly mindset. When I was in the shower this morning, I thought of something that will turn out to be, I think, a good wrap-up for you. And it fits this mindset idea just perfectly. Sow a thought, and reap a deed. Sow a deed and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle and reap a destiny. That's what a mindset does. And Paul calls us, the Philippians and us, to a particular mindset that includes these facets: committed discipleship, committed teamwork, committed relationships. And so I have some questions for you. First of all, thinking back to an ungodly mindset, is your heart right with God? Have you repented of your sin and received Jesus as your Savior from sin and judgment? Or are you still trying to impress God with your self-righteousness? Or are you living with an ungodly mindset? For us who are truly believers in Jesus Christ, are we pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us? Do we have that mindset of committed discipleship? Are we embracing God's calling to a fruitful life in His service in the body of Christ? Are we developing a mindset of committed teamwork? And in this world, which is so often characterized by superficial and broken relationships, are we experiencing the joy that flows from a mindset of committed relationships? See, that's God's intention for us, individually and as a church. Let's respond to Him in faith and obedience and experience the fullness of His blessing in our lives by renewing our commitment to developing a godly mindset.